All right, brethren, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul suffered greatly. He was taken because of he preached the gospel. He was taken to the middle of town and beaten, stripped and beaten because he preached the gospel in front of the whole town, beaten. He was unjustly charged and thrown in prison. He had to suffer shipwreck. He had to go without food. He had to go without clothing. These things were in the cause of Christ. These were for preaching Christ. And rejected by men, despised and rejected by men, like our Savior was. Hated and despised. And these are the things that the Apostle Paul is speaking about in the first chapter when he talks about the sufferings of Christ. Suffering for Christ. Suffering in the cause of Christ. This is what he's talking about when he talks about God comforting us. After all he endured, these are the things Paul called our light affliction. Because they're very light compared to what Christ endured for his people. And whenever we suffer, Satan would love for us to do as Job's wife told him to do, just curse God and die. But the Apostle Paul, after all his sufferings, did not do that. He praised God. He said in verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." And then Paul proceeds to do for us what he is teaching us to do in this passage. That is, he began to comfort us with the comfort wherewith he was comforted. Now, great meaning is given to our suffering in the cause of Christ when we know that all trouble that we encounter for the gospel's sake, in all of it, God comforts us so that we're able to comfort our brethren with the same comfort wherewith we're comforted. That gives meaning to our suffering. Meaning to our suffering. Now, first of all, here's the good news. God comforts His children in all our trouble. He says there in verse 3, "The God of all comfort," verse 4, "who comforteth us in all our tribulation." One sure certain thing that is common among all God's people is this: we are going to suffer trouble. We're going to suffer trouble. Christ said, "In the world you shall have tribulation." He said, "We must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God." Now everybody in the world suffers because we're all born of Adam in sin. And everybody comes into this world children of wrath. So everybody in this world suffers. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And therefore God's saints suffer just like everybody else in the world suffers. We suffer family troubles. We suffer sickness. We suffer loss of every kind, just like everybody in the world suffers. But God's saints suffer a trouble that none but God's elect suffer. We suffer a trouble that none but God's people suffer. It's what Paul speaks of here in verse 5, where he calls the sufferings of Christ. The sufferings of Christ are the sufferings that His people endure because we identify with Christ. It's the sufferings we endure because we stand for Christ and spread His gospel. It's the suffering and trouble we encounter because we don't live and give ourselves the things that the world lives for, we do without things so that we can have a place to worship God and so that we can send forth the gospel and those things. There's a lot of trouble that comes with believing Christ and walking with Christ and serving Christ. And these are the troubles he's speaking of here. It says in Philippians 1:29, it's given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That's what the sufferings of Christ mean, to suffer for his sake. And that's given to us. That's why we must do it. We're not above our Lord. Our Lord suffered. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And everybody he saves shall be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief for his sake. Not in any way compared to what he suffered in a much lesser degree, but we shall be sufferers of all sorts of trouble for his sake. They're called the sufferings of Christ because they're similar to what he suffered, though in a much lesser degree. They're similar to what he suffered. Hebrews 13:13 says, we go forth unto him without the camp. We leave the camp of religion. We leave the camp of this world. And we go to Christ outside of that camp. And as we do, we bear Christ's reproach. We're going to bear the reproach Christ bore. In a lesser degree, we're going to bear the kinds of things Christ bore. That's the suffering we're talking about here. Our Lord Jesus suffered persecution. He was oppressed. He was scorned by men who hated him because that's the natural carnal heart. And brethren, we shall too. We must. In the cause of Christ, we shall suffer these things. Paul said, yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You won't suffer any persecution if you walk into a room full of people that are walking contrary to God. You walk with them. But if you don't walk with them, you will be. And all that will live godly in this world will suffer persecution for Christ's sake. Christ endured tribulation because of his lost sheep. He endured trouble from his erring disciples. And at last, he laid down his life for his church. We're going to suffer those things in a lesser degree. We suffer over lost loved ones who break our hearts. We want them to know the gospel, and they just don't. They don't have any interest, and it breaks our heart. That's trouble. That's the sufferings of Christ. We suffer over fellow brethren who are falling into error. That's trouble. Christ suffered that. We suffer over other churches who are divided and having trouble, and we want to care for them and help them any way we can, and Christ suffered that, we're going to suffer that. For his people, because our Savior bore our sins in his body on the tree, and then God said, it says, the chastisement of our peace, the chastening required to give us peace was laid on him. Stripes, it's talking about. Chastening stripes were laid on him when he bore our sin. And with his stripes, we're healed. And now, because he's given us a new heart and regenerated us in our hearts, now we want to honor him and glorify him. And therefore, we often have to endure chastening stripes because of the sin that yet dwells in us. And that old man in us causes us so much tribulation and so much trouble because we don't like sin anymore. We hate it. And we'd want to honor Christ. That's trouble. We have our thorns in the flesh, the messengers of Satan to buffet us. Some of us do. And we'll probably have to live with them all our life. And God gave them to keep you always at his feet, begging his mercy and begging him to keep you by grace. They're painful. For whatever reason, to keep you, it's to keep you trusting his grace alone. God's given them to you, but those are tribulations you must bear. So this is the kind of suffering we're talking about. Now, brethren, Paul lived to minister to the saints. I mean, above anybody else in his day, Paul lived to minister to the saints. He said to the Corinthians, to live and we'll live and die with you. That was his life. His life was not about, it wasn't divided between his pleasure and the church. It was all the church. And because of that, he suffered more than anybody else in his day. Above all his fellow apostles, he suffered more than all of them. And yet, he said this, I'm filled with comfort and I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. He said, I'm filled with comfort and exceeding joyful in all our tribulation while I'm suffering the trouble. He said, I am exceeding joyful and comforted. How? He said later, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforteth us. That's why. He didn't say God took the suffering away. God didn't take the thorn away. He didn't say God took him out of the heat of the battle and out of the fighting, the fight of faith or anything like that. The trouble was still going on. But he said, in all of it, I'm comforted and I'm exceeding joyful. Why? Because no matter our trouble, anything we suffer for Christ, the God of all comfort comforteth us in all our trouble. In all our trouble. That's good news, isn't it? God shall comfort His people. Now, secondly, God comforts us for a reason. God comforts us to make us comforters. God comforts us to make us comforters. Look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1:4. He says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble with the comfort wherewith we are comforted. Now, when God comforts us in our trouble, now, even though that comfort is sent for our good, that comfort is not sent only for our personal benefit. God never comforts His child for just our personal benefit. That's not what the comfort is for. It's to make us able comforters to others who suffer. That's why He comforts us. God does call us to live in this world publicly. That's right. He doesn't call His servants to live privately to ourselves. He calls us to live publicly to others. Christ's life was a public ministry. His life was as a servant of God, serving others, ministering to others. And that's what His people are. We're servants of God. That means we're sent for to minister to His people. That's what His saints are. We're not called to preach, not all of us. But we are all called to comfort those who mourn. We are all called to do that. Now, understand this. This is very, very important to understand. We do not have to suffer the exact circumstances that our brethren suffer to be able to give them comfort. You know, we tend to look at this verse and think that when he says there, let me read it again. He says there, God comforteth us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. And we tend to look at that and think, well, He comforts us so that when others are going through the exact trouble that we've already been through, we can comfort them because we can come to them and tell them how, you know, we've been there, we've been in it, we've done what, been through that. That's an earthy type comfort. You know, if that's the comfort He was talking about, anybody can do that. You know, misery loves company. And you go to somebody and tell them, I've suffered, I've been there with you. That's just a natural comfort. That's not the comfort He's talking about here. If that were the case, brethren, in order for me to comfort those in any trouble, I'm going to have to suffer every kind of trouble. You understand? If I have suffered exactly the circumstances you suffered in order to minister the comfort He's talking about, I'm going to have to suffer every kind of trouble that God's people suffer in order to be able to do that. And that's not what He's talking about. But He says here, He comforts us so we can comfort those who are in any kind of trouble, even trouble that we hadn't even suffered yet. How can we do that? Well, remember, he's talking about the sufferings of Christ. He's talking about tribulation that believers suffer as we live for Christ's honor and His glory. He's not talking about suffering we endure because we brought it on ourselves. He's talking about suffering we endure living for Christ and honoring Christ and furthering His gospel for the sake of Him and His Word. And each of God's saints can say this. Every time you've ever suffered tribulation for the cause of Christ, you can say this without any reservation. God has comforted you. Can you say that, brethren? That's so. I know it's so because it's been so in me. Everything I've ever suffered for Christ's sake, God's comforted me. I don't have any doubt. That's so with you that are His. I know it's so. And brethren, that's the comfort. Even though I've not suffered the exact thing my brother suffered, I can tell my brother this. Everybody, all God's saints who suffer in any kind of trouble we suffer, God shall comfort you in all the trouble, whatever the kind of trouble it is, whatever the circumstances of the trouble is, anything that God's saints suffer in this world, the sufferings of Christ that we endure in this world, God shall comfort you. And that's comfort. Look down at verse 7 and tell me if that's not what he's saying. He says, our hope of you. Myself as an apostle and all the other apostles, our hope of you Corinthians receiving the comfort from God is steadfast. We have a hope you're going to receive comfort from God. It's steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of these sufferings, the sufferings of Christ, so shall you be also of the consolation. I know that's going to happen. Everybody who is a saint of God who suffers the sufferings of Christ shall be a partaker of the consolation. I know it. And that's comfort to me. Is that comfort to you? My brethren, my suffering brother, my suffering sister, you listen to me. I have suffered in the cause of Christ. I've suffered trouble. And every single time I have suffered trouble in the cause of Christ, the God of all comfort has comforted me in all my trouble. It doesn't matter what kind it is or what the circumstances are. He's comforted me. And I have a steadfast hope from experience that God will do the same for you who are His saints. I know He will. And He comforted me for that purpose to tell you, I know He will. I know He will. We shall suffer, yes, but we shall be comforted by God, absolutely. Now, God has worked this hope of comfort in our hearts through past trouble. That's how He worked it in our hearts. It was through experiencing trouble and patiently bearing that trouble that God worked this good hope of knowing He will comfort His people. You learn it by experience. Look down at verse 6. He says, he's talking here now about, and this applies to everybody, no doubt, and we can read this as applying to us all, but he's speaking here specifically of him and the other apostles. He's saying, we apostles, whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation. And he says, now watch this, which is effectual, which is wrought in you in the enduring, in the patient bearing of the same sufferings which we also suffer. You see, what we're afflicted with, it's so that we can console you. It's for your salvation. And this is going to be worked. This is worked by us enduring these same sufferings you see us suffer. And if it's going to be worked in you to where you know this is why God's afflicting you, then you're going to be, it's going to be worked in you through this suffering too. Patiently bearing the suffering. That's how you're going to know this. And he says, or whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. Turn over to Romans 5. Let me show you where he says this in another place. Romans 5. Now listen to this. He told there how that we glory in God in our Lord Jesus Christ because we've been justified. We've been justified by Christ. Now look what he says this too, Romans 5 and verse 3. And not only so, we glory in tribulations also. We rejoice in trouble also. Brethren, that's not just Paul using hyperbole and exaggerating. God's saints do rejoice in tribulations also. We do. And watch what he said. He said, the more you suffer tribulations and see God's faithfulness, the more you'll rejoice when you come into trouble. Because this is what you know. This is what God wrought in you by it. Watch this. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now that word patience is that same word Paul said over there when he said endurance. Endure. It means that we have the hope that we shall be comforted, worked in us through patiently enduring past tribulations. That's how we have this hope of being comforted, worked in us, because we've patiently endured tribulations. I like this illustration. I can't remember where I read it, but he's talking about, a horse. You take a horse that's never been ridden, and if you put any weight on that horse is going to buck, and he's going to carry on because he don't want it. He's not accustomed to it. And so, like folks who break horses, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll just put not something as heavy as a person. They'll put just a lighter weight on it, like a saddle. They'll put the saddle on the horse. And he'll buck and carry on with it, but they just let him walk around with it, leave it on him for a couple of days. And he learns to endure it. He learns to bear up under that weight. And he can handle it now. And then they put a little heavier weight on him. He bucks and kicks because he don't like that new weight on him. But after a little while walking around, he don't even realize it's there. He can bear it. And after a while, a man can get on that horse. And he may buck and kick a little bit, but he'll bear it because he's gradually worked up to where he can handle it. And that's what he's talking about here. He sends you a trial, and through it, he works endurance. Me and Will's been going to the gym lately. And we didn't go in that gym and start lifting. There's a fella in there that just got drafted by the New York Giants we talked to the other day. And that fella don't have anything but muscle on his body. And we were talking to him. He bench presses 455 pounds. 455 pounds. But he didn't start doing that the first day he went in there. He had to learn to endure that weight and build up to that weight and gradually build up to that weight. And that's what we're doing. We didn't go in there and start throwing around heavy weight. We went there and we're building up to that weight. And that's what he's talking about here. He sends you trials, so that through that, he works endurance. Patient endurance. The trials aren't going to be real. They'll be the biggest trial you thought you ever faced in your life at first. But 10 years down the road, you'll look back on it and think, that was nothing. How come I thought that was so bad? And he keeps putting a little more weight on you with these trials. And they just, so you learn to endure. One day we're going to come to that river of death. My grandmother is right at 90 years old. Do you think she's ready to cross that river? She wants to cross that river. Do you think she could have done that back when God first saved her? No way. But she's borne trial after trial after trial and had to wait and wait and wait to where she just patiently enduring all the broken down body she's got, looking for the time when she can cross that river and be with God and wants to. You see what I'm saying? He's preparing us for that. Look here. Tribulation works patience, and patience experience. Maturity. You experience it. You learn it. And experience, what does it work? Hope. Hope. And what's this hope? That's the hope he's talking about in our text. We have this steadfast hope that you're going to be comforted. How do you know that? Because through all these trials, they've taught me to endure, they've taught me experience, they've taught me hope, and hope is never made to be ashamed. Why? Here's the comfort. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And that's what Paul is saying. I know whatever you're suffering. I have this steadfast hope because I've suffered in a lot of trials. And I know I have this steadfast hope that as you are a partaker of the suffering, you're going to also be a partaker of the comfort. You're going to be a partaker of God shedding His love abroad in your heart in this trial. Because that's what God sends it for. To comfort. And so, when you've endured these past trials and the Holy Spirit's flooded your heart with it, now you can go to your suffering brother and tell them, our hope of you is steadfast. I know that as you're partakers of the suffering, so you shall be also of the consolation. You can tell them from experience. I know it. Because this is so. And that's what He does it for us. Not just to comfort us and make it all about us. It's to comfort us, to be comforters to others. Now, let's go to this last point. What is our consolation? It is the consolation of Israel. Do you know what the consolation of Israel is? The consolation of Israel is a name given to Christ. Christ is our consolation. Consolation here and comfort here mean they're the exact same word all through this passage. They mean Christ. It's Christ. Christ is our consolation. He's our comfort. Look at verse 5. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. He's the comfort. The Son of God. How does He know to comfort us? Go to Hebrews with me. Hebrews 5. How does He know to comfort us? Now, you know, before He came to this earth, He's the Son of God. He's a spirit. And He knows all things, but has He ever really walked in our shoes prior to Him coming here? No. So why did He take flesh? Go over there with me to Hebrews 5:1. He was made like His brethren that He might experience our trouble. The same for this same reason. Look at Hebrews 5 verse 1. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God that He may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. That's the first work of the high priest, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin for the people. And look here at verse 2. Here's the second work of the high priest. And here's what I want you to see. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that He Himself also is compassed with infirmity. He knows what it is. That's why God chose high priests from among His brethren. Look at Hebrews 2:17. Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Christ to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's the first work. And verse 18, here's the second work. For in that He Himself hath suffered, being tempted, He's able to succor. That word is comfort and console in strength them that are tempted. That's why He came, to be to suffer. Look at Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. I'm sorry, let's look at verse 7. In the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death. That strong crying and tears means He suffered. This in the Garden of Gethsemane, He suffered so much under the weight of our sin that His capillaries burst. He shed blood. He sweat blood. That's suffering. And He cried out with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from dying. I don't at all believe that our Lord Jesus Christ was crying out, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't believe He was saying that He didn't want to go to the cross. I believe He was praying, Father, don't let me die right here in this garden. Because He wanted to go to that cross. And He prayed to God, and God sent a comforter and comforted Him. Remember that in the Garden of Gethsemane? And it says here, He prayed to Him that was able to save Him from death, and He was heard in that He feared. He reverenced God. God comforted Him. God comforted Him. Now what was the point of all that? Though He were a Son, the Son of God, God the Son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. and being made perfect, having perfected obedience, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them now that obey him. And that's what he's doing here. Though he were a son, brethren, get this now, he came down to where we are. Though he were a son, he came and took flesh of his brethren to suffer like we suffer. He did that in order that he would suffer like we suffer. He did that in order that he would be comforted of God. In order that he might be able, as a man, to comfort his people. He learned it. He experienced obedience. He experienced what it is to walk in our shoes. Remember when he came after the Garden of Gethsemane and he sweat blood and he comes and his apostles are there and they're sleeping, not just because they're lazy, they're sleeping because of sorrow. They couldn't bear up under the sorrow that he was bearing up under. And they went to sleep. It was a supernatural sleep. They were just put out because of it. And you remember what Christ said to them? And he spoke this from experience. He spoke this because he had experienced it himself. He said, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Now he knows that. As a man, he experienced that. The flesh is weak. And he knows it. And he experienced what it is to cry out to God. And he experienced what it is for God to be faithful and comfort him. And so now, how thankful we are, brethren, that he made reconciliation for us. That above everything else, we're thankful he made reconciliation for all that the Father gave him. He is the spotless Lamb of God who was made sin for us. He is the scapegoat who took all the sins of his people away. We're made the righteousness of God in this one offering. And he is the great high priest who went into the holiest with his own blood and having obtained eternal redemption for his people. And we're thankful he ever lives to make intercession for us. I'm not making light of his work on Calvary's cross at all. But I'll tell you something else we're thankful for. We're thankful that he's walked where we walk as a man. We're thankful that he suffered as we've suffered. We're thankful that he's been comforted when he cried to God. Because now, brethren, when you and I suffer and you and I cry unto him in all the sufferings of Christ, brethren, he will comfort his people. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounds by Christ. He doesn't give you a little comfort. In the same amount that the suffering abounds, his comfort abounds. If you suffer a lot, he's going to comfort you a lot. Because he's been there. And he knows what it is to need it. And not only has he been there, he's God too, so he can give it. He can give it. Nobody can stop him. That's why, brother, that scripture Brother Art read tells us now, come to his throne of grace. He's willing. He's able to give grace to his people in every time of need. Now, all those other lesser things we suffer, like the world suffers, he'll comfort us in those too. But I guarantee you this, I'm talking here now about true suffering. I'm not here about suffering for Christ, the sufferings of Christ. And I guarantee you, everything he suffered for God the Father to declare him just and justified. And therefore, God the Father comforted him in everything he suffered. And when you and I suffer, we're going to receive comforting from him in what we suffer. The only time he couldn't suffer, he couldn't have comfort, was when he hung there in that darkness on the cross. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But because, as we saw Thursday night, because he bore that, now all he gives us is comfort. He won't forsake us. He'll give us comfort. The sufferings of Christ, brethren, not only means the sufferings we endure in his cause. Don't forget this too. This is important. It also means that he's touched with all our sufferings. They're the sufferings of Christ because we're suffering for the cause of Christ. But they're the sufferings of Christ because we're one with him. You get that, brethren? Whenever Christ is one with those God put in him by divine election, we've been one in him from the eternity. That's why God didn't roll it all up and throw us all into hell when we sinned in Adam, because he had a mediator, he had a surety, and we were in him. And he's in all those in whom he's redeemed and regenerated, and he's the head, and we're his body. And when you suffer as a member of his body, it's Christ suffering. He said, in that you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And so it is his body that suffers, and so he will comfort his people. As the sufferings of Christ abound in you, so also shall the consolation abound by Christ. Now, let me end with this. I'm going to say it again. My suffering brother, my suffering sister, I've suffered. Nothing in comparison to Christ. Nothing in comparison to what God's most eminent saints in the past have suffered. Nothing like what they've suffered. Light affliction. If Paul called his light affliction, I call mine just minuscule affliction. It's just even a blip on the radar of affliction. But I know this, in the things I suffered, when I suffered them, they was the worst thing ever happened. But I know this, God came and comforted me in every one of them. And he is the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our tribulation. It doesn't matter what it is, what kind it is. The sufferings of Christ, and all his saints suffer the sufferings of Christ, because we're saints, we're his, we're his body. And so we're part of him. And when we suffer, he's going to comfort his people. Because we're members. What happens when you slam a hammer down on your thumb? You tend to that thumb like it's the only member of your body, don't you? You see me and Martha walking around here. I act like my wrist's the only member on my body. She act like her knee's the only member on her body. Because we suffer. So we tend to that member. Well, guess what? When Christ, one member of his body suffers, he tends to it like it's the only member of his body he's got. And he does that for all his people without slighting one that he's not comforting at the time. So know this. The God of all comfort comforteth us in all our tribulation. And he does it that we might be able to comfort them that are in any trouble with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. So brethren, now listen. You might be suffering right now after God has comforted you, after you've gone through this trouble. Let me tell you what you do. You find somebody that's suffering. I don't mean getting their business and meddle, but I mean you find somebody that's suffering. It ain't hard to find somebody suffering. A believer that's suffering. And you find somebody that's suffering, and you comfort them with the comfort wherewith God comforted you. You may not be able to make them effectually have comfort. You may not be able to take them tears away from their eyes and make them stop crying. You may not be able to do anything like that. But here's what you can do. You can tell them, I'm confident of this by experience. As you have been a partaker of the sufferings of Christ, you shall be a partaker of the comfort by Christ. I know that. And when he's pleased, he'll apply that to their heart. That'll be a comfort to them. Just naturally speaking, to hear that, to know that, that'll be some comfort to them. But when he comes and applies it, then they'll know it so. They'll know it so. All we can't apply it effectually. All we can do is just say, I know he's going to comfort you. I know he's going to comfort you. Only he can work it effectually. But when he does, they'll know it. So what I'm saying is now, you know it's, you're going to find out. When you're suffering now, you're going to find out it's so. He's going to comfort you after he's done it. Now, find a brother or sister suffering and comfort them. Comfort them with what Christ done. Just go tell them what Christ has done. One of the things that comforts us more than anything is just hearing the gospel. It takes our eyes off of us. It takes our eyes off of, and puts us eyes on him and what he's accomplished for us. We see ourselves complete in Christ at his right hand, and you ain't no bad news when you got that good news. And he comes and applies it, and it comforts you. All right, brethren, we'll have a closing hymn, and then Brother Kevin, will you come dismiss Mrs. in prayer. Y'all be sure now to look at my pulpit back there, Brother Adam built. I still got some We're going to stain it and what have you, but I thought he did an excellent job on it. And Brother Kevin, thank you for putting in the thermostats for us, the new thermostats too. Maybe we'll have a little better results with our heater now. We'll see. So, all right, Brother Art.